Just a bit of background this morning for what took Claudia and Irvina to Cambodia this past summer. God's timing is one of the most valuable qualities in our lives. God's timing. Such a beautiful thing. And I hope that that each of us, perhaps through this morning or all that happens here or some challenge of today, will help clarify and just focus that in more carefully on each of our lives. God's timing. He uses timing to accomplish His will. The opportunity for Claudia and Irvina to spend the 3 months of this past summer in Cambodia is a testimony to that reality of God's timing. As many of you know, the year of 2010, those of you who are part of this fellowship and some of our close friends, 2010 for our family was a time of intense prayer and seeking God's will as we were deliberating whether God was wanting to call us to, as a family, to Asia. And it was a very intense struggle for me personally as I wrestled for the whole year, basically. And then God asked of us to take our family to Cambodia last year. For the month of September, we spent traveling through Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. It was an incredible experience as a family as we sought God's heart. Claudia and Irvina had spent the spring of 2009 in Thailand under GTO on a vision trip and had really got a heartbeat and a passion for the people of Asia, and they felt like perhaps God wanted to use them there again, and were hoping that maybe our family would be called to that. As we traveled through Asia, we became aware God was not directing us as a family in that way. It was a very difficult time for us. It was a huge disappointment for my family. And it was hard for me to proceed saying that God is not calling us as a family at this time. God's timing is one of the most valuable things in our life, and we want to follow it. But through that, through those prayers and through those wrestlings, God did grant Claudia and Irvina the opportunity to see their prayer realized, to spend some time in Asia through a number of contacts and connections that was really neat. God opened an opportunity to go to Phnom Penh, the capital of Cambodia, a land that's been devastated over many years of just horrible ruin by the leadership there, the Khmer Rouge. And now he's coming out of that. It's a very young country a high percent of their people are under 30 years old, over 70%, because the older people were all killed off. So there's a great there's just a great vacuum there, a great opportunity. And into that opportunity, they were called to work with the children of some of the poorer sections of the city. And that is what led them there. God used their lives along with other people there. And that's some of what you'll see as this video rolls. Go ahead, Tim, and roll that DVD. And after this DVD shows, Claudia and Irvina will be sharing some personally.
So he is a father to the fatherless. And so even if we can't be there in Phnom Penh and we can't be there loving them, I know that because God says he is a defender of the orphans, he takes care of the fatherless, that he is there and he's the one who's loving them, and he will raise up people to take care of them. But it's such an overwhelming task. And I was getting ready to share this morning, I remembered again that Cambodia is a real place. And the people living there are real people. They're living just like I'm living now. And I come home and it's so easy for me to forget. It was this summer, and yes, I was there this summer, and I love them this summer, but I can come home and I can get so wrapped up once again, and all that matters is that I get that McDonald's burger out the window in 30 seconds or less, and that I get to Honeybrook on time for the youth center on time so I can finish the evening on time and clean up on time. And I forget that they're still living. and their souls are still, they're still living, they're real people. And I forget about everything else that actually happens except what matters to me and my little world. And I want to remember. I don't want to forget. And so that's why I continue to pray and I continue to support them and I continue to get out there, because that's what changes me, is when I see other people's pain and stop, my life is not about myself. But my heart hasn't always been towards Cambodia, and it hasn't always been this way. It was when I was 16 and or 17, I was taking a college class at LBC, and my heart grew so burdened for this land of Cambodia, and I had no idea why. And just day after day, week after week, for years, it's been 4 years now, I would say, God, take me to Cambodia. Show me why my heart is so burdened for this place. And so we'd go to Asia, and we wouldn't visit Cambodia. I'd say, why have you placed this burden on my heart if I'm not going to go to this place? And so we go to Asia again, and we get to visit it for about 2 days. And I feel the burden on my heart for these people, and I feel it, and I say, God, bring me back. But it's not all that. So God leads us back. He takes us back to Cambodia, and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for fulfilling this dream, and thank you for allowing us to come back. But then he starts showing us that mission work is not just about the glamorous mission work. It's hard, and but it's wonderful. And he pinpoints our hearts, and he says, change this, change this. I want you to be like me. I want you to be like me. And so I get to Cambodia, and I say, this is great. This is so great. I'm finally here where my heart has been wanting to come for so long. And I get there, and God starts tearing me down. I don't know the language. I don't know the people. I don't know what my responsibility is. And I say, what, God? What's this? Who am I? What am I doing here? And I get there, and I had never thought before that I won't know any of the language. The thought had never crossed my mind. And so I get there, and I realize I don't know the language. I don't know how to say hello. And so Ravina and I get on YouTube, and we Google how to say hello in Khmer. This is our second day there. And we can't figure it out. We cannot figure it out. And so we go to the slums, and we say, we have no idea how to say hello. What are we doing here? And it's just that thing of God. He's breaking me. He's breaking me and saying, you can't be the greatest missionary ever until you know who I am, until you know who you are. And so I go and I just say, I just want to be a canoe trip leader in Honeybrook again. I don't know what I'm doing in Cambodia. But it took about a month of God tearing me down in Cambodia, the whole month of June, just saying, Claudia, you are not the committees you serve on in Honeybrook. You are not the canoe trips that you lead in Honeybrook. You are my child, and you are who you are in Christ. You are not the things you do. And so the second month, it felt like he began rebuilding me, began building me up. So I'm not what I do in Honeybrook, but what am I doing here in Phnom Penh to love these children? And something that has been hard for me in my life is that I tend to stress roles versus like a relationship versus love. So I'll just stress roles, and it'll be so easy for me to forget to love people. And so this was something that God had been trying to teach me in life here and home before I went to Asia. And I just wouldn't learn, and I just wouldn't learn. And so I get to Cambodia, and I don't know the language, and I don't know how any of the rules. I don't know the culture. And so it's like, I realize about the second week, I realize what's going on, and I say, okay, God, I get it. I can't enforce rules. I can't do anything except love these people. And so that's why I believe it's one of the main reasons God took me there, is to teach me to love them, because I could do nothing else. And so every Tuesday, we would go into the slums and we would wash their hair. For all morning, we would wash hundreds of kids' hair and just wash the lice out and just love them like that. And so that became my favorite day, because it became my way of being able to show them that I love them. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't say, I love you. And for a while, I didn't even want to, because I was so confused in Cambodia. But God began to show me that you can show them love by your action. And so I learned I am not the committees I serve on. I am not the canoe trips I lead. I am not what I do here at home. And he took away everything from me and began rebuilding me. And then he began fortifying me. He began the third month. He began pounding me into his heart, just pounding me in with biblical scriptures and just prayer and showing me what love looks like outside of roles. And then as I began learning that, he began to teach me, we began to learn some of the language, how to relate, how to talk to them, how to convey that we actually do love you. We love you guys. I don't know. So there's this one story of this little guy, about this big. We called him Mandarin Baby because he always wore this little suit like a soldier. And we would always come up with names for them because their names are so hard for us to remember. And he said one day, we were in there, we were mopping the floor of the youth center and he said in his language, "Excuse me, can small, small children come in now?" And we turned to him and she answered in Khmer, "No, small, small children cannot come in now." And so he says, "Okay, I'll wait." So she keeps mopping the floor. About 10 minutes later, he comes back. "Excuse me, can small, small children come in now?" She says, "Yes, small, small children can come in now. I'm done mopping." And he runs over to his little friends and he says, "Guess what? Jesus said we can come in now." And that, when I hear that, I say, yes, that is why I go to Cambodia. And that is why I work at McDonald's. And that is why I wake up in the mornings, and that is why I live my life, because I want people to say, there's Jesus. Jesus said we can come in now. And so we are the face of Jesus to the world, wherever you are, whether you're across the seas, whether you're in your own workplace, so that they can see, there goes Jesus in her McDonald's outfit, or there goes Jesus on that plane to Cambodia, or there goes Jesus on a plane to Uganda. And that is why I live, so that Jesus may be glorified in me. And even just like watching this video and it all coming back and like, yes, I can't be there, but what can I do right now to affect them? What can I do now to affect my life here, the people around me? What am I doing now to love everyone with the soul love of Jesus Christ? And so that is why I live.
We thought about coming today and carrying buckets or hoses or something to keep dousing ourselves with because we don't normally look this unsweaty. We look very sweaty if we were in Cambodia. But yeah, just seeing this all come back again is so good. And seeing the faces of our kids and just remembering what God did in us this summer, it's so good. And I think when people go to Cambodia, mostly they see you go as a tourist. A lot of people go as tourists. And so you walk the riverfront, and there's gorgeous cafes and restaurants and shops, and it's very attractive. It's very beautiful. And it kind of has this facade that they're building themselves up. They're doing okay. And they're creating these huge new buildings and skyscrapers, and they're really proud of themselves because, you know, their war-torn country is finally becoming built up again. It's becoming developed. It's becoming attractive to people to come visit. But when I was there and I was praying for the country, I was learning about the country, I was learning to love the people, and I was like, they're building on a foundation of death. They're building new things, they're becoming more developed, people are flocking there, but they're building on a foundation of brothels and of slavery and of sin. Like, it's not really being built up. And I was so burdened by that, and so just like, God, what are we here for? We're here for such a short time. It's such a gift, but it's such a short time. And what do we do in these 3 months to pray for the country? How do we affect it? And working with the ministry was really an incredible time. We were under University of the Nations, which is partly under YWAM, and they have their ministry has been going on for about 7 years. And they initially began in Phnom Penh, in the capital, and they worked with kids. They had a kids club every Sunday. And so the kids would come, and they'd meet in this old house. And it was a place where the police wouldn't even come. There was so much drug abuse, so much gang things going on. And so it was very unusual that this couple would go. And it was an American woman who married a Cambodian man. Amazing couple. And so they began this, and they began working with the kids and building relationships, building friendships. And then a couple years into it, the government kind of came in one night, just cleared it all out, moved the whole slum community outside the city to a different slum community. And so this is about 45 minutes away, and our directors, Tim and Mel, were like, okay, well, our people are all gone. They're all scattered. What do we do? Do we just let them go? Do we think it's too far? Do we still put our hearts into this? And they decided, yes, we want to. Like, this is a chance for these people to be away from all this awful stuff that's going on in the middle of this community, and they're being taken away from them. So let's follow them out there. Let's give them Jesus out there. So where we worked was about 45 minutes away from the city, and we would go out there every day and do everything from hair washing to kids club to visiting the families to... The girls had a Khmer dance lessons every week. The guys had soccer. So just a lot of relationship building and a lot of, just forming friendships and learning how the gospel translates in that culture. And what was really exciting for us, one thing, was that a girls' discipleship group started while we were there. And we loved that. It was a group of about 10 or 15, 20 girls that we would meet on Sunday afternoons, and they would ask us questions or things that they wanted to know. And so we would kind of teach these different topics and teach them. And it was so fun because it was what we've kind of been doing in Honeybrook and what we loved in Honeybrook. And then God gave that to us over there. And we had to speak through translators and interpreters. But it was such a growing time for them and for us. And also the staff we worked with was all Khmer. And we were so blessed by them. Like we said in the video, we kind of went, you know, thinking we would disciple, thinking we would help. Teach, help, instruct, and we found out that we were the ones who were being taught, and we were the ones who were learning from them. And they have such a simplistic life. They love the gospel so simply, but so it's so real and it's so alive. And so, just praying with them and learning their heart for the people and seeing like they're so untiring. We come for 3 months and we leave, but they come and day after day after day, this is what they do. This is what they do. And they love it, and they're passionate about the people. They're passionate about praying for souls. Just looking at the 3 months, I think God really taught us to live with intention, because we know we had a certain span of time. We had from, you know, June to September or whatever it was. And what were we going to do in these months? And I remember when we get there, or even before getting there, we became so overwhelmed by the need. There was so much need. We were working with kids, but that's just like a small part of it. There's so much other, so many other areas that need people and that need just Christ and the gospel just poured into them. And I remember just praying a lot and just like, God, what do you want us to do? Like, yes, we are here. We feel called to these children. But what? How do we go beyond that? How do we really make a difference? Because we're just two lives against this whole culture and against all this need. Where do we even start to make a difference? And God very clearly told us, pray. You're here to pray. You're not here to just come and love on kids and do good things and then leave. You're here to leave behind ground trampled in prayer and to intercede for these souls. And just love this country through prayer. And the other thing is, he said, just love the one. Start by loving the one. There's thousands, millions of people in this country, but I brought you here. And you love the old grandma who you're having a Bible study with, and she wants to discuss 1 John, but she doesn't have rice enough for that night. She doesn't have money to buy rice. You love her. You love the teenage girl who asks you questions about the Bible in her broken English. You love the little boy who's dying of AIDS, and he's kind of a bully, but he needs love. And you love the little kids who crawl on your lap and transfer their lice to your head. And you love these people one at a time. Just feeling God pouring out through us, because we had so much time just to spend with God and to spend in prayer and in his word, and just feeling him give us what we needed for each day and feeling him give us that vision and that passion for being there. And like Claudia said, just feeling like him tearing us down in some ways and pointing out areas of us that expose how ungrateful of a missionary we are, but yet building us up and fortifying us in himself. And I remember at the beginning, our director, Mel, was giving a devotional to a team, and she said, I just really want you all to pray for a clean heart. I really feel that our team needs to develop a clean hearts individually in each of us. And she's like, because we read these verses, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, cast me not away from your presence. But she's like, what is that all for? Why do we need a clean heart? Why does God need to give that to us? And it's the following verses. It's so I can teach transgressors your ways, so the sinners can become converted. That is when that happens, when you yourself have a clean heart and you're living out of that and you're giving out of that. And so I feel like that's what God was doing in us. That's what he wanted to do in us this summer. It wasn't just for the people. It wasn't just for the kids, but it was for us to learn what God wanted out of us and what he had to give through us. And so I'm so grateful for that time. I'm so grateful just to be there with Claude and to hear what God had for us, to see more of the hugeness of his heart and the people, just falling in love with the people and the country. And yeah, it was incredible. Thank you so much for all of you who prayed. I know you're back here praying, and that was amazing. So thank you.
Can I just wrap up these challenges with some challenges to us personally here? I'll take a few minutes to do that. You know, the ransacking of God in our own hearts, it happens everywhere. He wants to do it everywhere. He wants to build his kingdom everywhere. So wherever God is calling you, wherever you find yourself, wherever his finger points, wherever his hand leads, I hope that you allow him to work you over and to conform him, that I allow God to do that in my life. I'd like to read a verse from John 4, verse 35, and this is just a small challenge here to all of us, to myself personally. It's huge because Jesus was speaking here, and you can take this word as a question, as an interrogative, or you can take it as an imperative, as a statement. And here's what Jesus said. John 4, verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white now to harvest. So that's the question. Is that what you're saying? Or let's turn it around and turn it into the imperative statement, where Jesus says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, it's harvest time now. Now is lift up your eyes to see the harvest. I want to use this verse as a challenge to myself and to all of us to embrace God's timing. As I said earlier, God's timing is one of the most valuable assets we have in life. Contributions from God to us. There has never been a time of greater option for people in the world than right now. In all of history, there's never been more opportunities that are presented to us, that are available to us, that we can enter into, and we can embrace than right now. There's the opportunities in travel, there's the awareness of world needs through mass media, and the community of the world is global. Everything's interconnected. We have relative prosperity and economy with all our technology, our cell phones, our iPods, the internet. Everything is right here to give us the greatest advantage that anybody ever had in the world, in any time in history. Now is the time. Now is opportunity's other name. You get that? Opportunity has another name. It means now, right now. Today is the day of salvation. Today, what's placed in your hand? What am I doing with what God gives me? See, God is building his kingdom right here in Lancaster County. He's building it in Lancaster City. He's building it in Honeybrook. He's building it wherever you live in your community. God is saying, embrace the timing. Embrace my timing for your life. Don't say, I'm still developing who I am before I can serve him where I am. Don't say, I'll need a few more years to mature before I can serve the Lord. You may be in school. That is God's timing for you. That is where he wants you to bloom. That's where he wants you to flow from. That's where he wants you to percolate. And that's where he wants to use you. If you are in a workplace and that's God's will for you, he is making you effective there. He wants to make you effective there. Embrace that timing. Sometimes people are in one season of life and they wish they were in another. They wish, you know, I wish I wouldn't have this job. I wish I could be in ministry, in mission, or whatever. That is your mission if that's where God has called you. Sometimes we say if we were a little bit more experienced, we had a little bit more money, we could do a bit more. Embrace God's timing wherever you are. There's so many distractions in our time to the opportunities that are around us. Just an incredible amount of distractions. The noise of the world, the noise of life. And unless we take time as people, as individuals, to just hear God, to slip into those moments and hours where we can hear God say, this is where I want you. This is what I want you to do. This is what I'm about in your life. If we don't take time to be quiet, if we constantly have the music going in our cars, we have great music and wonderful stuff to listen to, but you know, that can drown out the voice of God. God uses music to speak to us too. But I'm saying we cannot just always be tuned in to what's happening around us if we want to hear the voice of God. We got to be meditative and contemplative to embrace God's timing for our lives. Now is opportunity's other name. Right now, not tomorrow, not next year, not when I'm older, not when I have more money or more time. This generation, the rising generation, we are, all of us here have incredible opportunities, but the rising generation, the young people, the people in their 20s and younger, is an incredible time that you're born into. You're born into a time of affluence, explosion of technology and gadgets and games and things that can really, really become your life, and it can distract you. All of history has had times of distraction, but never a greater time than today. But never have the opportunities been greater than they are today. And God is saying, I want you to hear my voice. He may be calling some of you overseas. He may be calling some of you to cities. He may be calling some of you to country. He may be calling some of you to labor and toil in a day job all your life. He may call some of you to the field of medicine, whatever. You know, God is a God of versatility, and He's diverse. And nobody's life is the same. And He calls all of us to different opportunities and different functions and different places of serving. We need God's people. We need honest, hardworking, God-fearing people in every phase of the marketplace and in every part of the world. Embrace God's timing. Do not say, for another time and another season of my life, I can be effective. So what season do you find yourself in right now? God says, lift up your eyes. Understand the season that you're in. Maybe you're in the prime of your life. That's a wonderful season. You're in the height of your energy, enthusiasm, optimism. That's a wonderful season. You might be young and strong. You may be in the midst of raising your family. That may be your season right now. For me, I think the season of my life right now is the season of empowerment for my family, to empower my family and to empower others who I know to be able to carry out their life purpose. There's some things I love to do. There's some longings I have in my heart. There's some visions and dreams that I want to do. I'm still young at heart. I really am. And I dream big, and I dream a lot. And I want to do a lot of things. But right now, God says, your season is to empower those in your care and those around you. And sometimes I say, you know what? I wish I were here or there. Maybe your season is the latter years of your life, the later years, the sunset years. That's a great season for you to empower those around you and those with lesser experience and those looking for answers. Maybe you're in a season of suffering, of discouragement, or of trial. That's a season too. God says, I want you to embrace that season. Embrace that season because it's a time of defining who you are and where your anchors lie and where your securities are. If you suffer, God shows you your heart in a much fuller way than in prosperity. Embrace the season of suffering because spring will come again and summer, and will turn into summer. Maybe you're in a season of great searching and for answers for your life, trying to discern God's heart. Maybe you have more questions than answers right now in your life. That's a season. It's a season that God wants you to be in, but He wants to bring you through, and He wants to define those questions and those answers in your life. He wants to empower you, but it's a season you have to wrestle with so that you can own the call of God in your life. Maybe you're in a season of great success, a season where there is the favor of God all over you, and things are just clicking and working and just smooth, and everything you touch works. It's a great season to be in. It's a fun season to be in. It's a wonderful season. But I want to remind you, embrace that season now because winter's coming. It won't always be that way. God won't let you be in a season where everything just flows smoothly, without tests, without trials. That's not the way God works, because it's the seasons of success in His favor that give us the faith-building times where we see that God is faithful, so that through the times of winter, we can trust Him, and He will bring us through. Maybe it's a time of waiting for you. But you know, waiting, as Isaiah used that term in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, he said, "Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength." I'd like to give you just a bit of a different twist to the word wait. Because waiting can be a wonderful thing. When we go to a restaurant, the people who come and they serve you, they're called waiters and waitresses. They're not just waiting around somewhere and sitting down. They're serving. While you are in a time of waiting, be involved to ministering to the Lord and serving Him and doing what you can while you're defining God's further plan and call for your life. Let me close with the symbolism of the molting eagle. There's a phenomenon that happens in eagles. It doesn't always happen, but it happens. As the eagle grows and he becomes encumbered with the oil and the dirt of whatever he eats and just life, he becomes heavier and heavier, and he can't soar as well as he used to soar. So God has designed that, like chickens will, or some other birds sometimes, there's a molting process that happens. And so God has put the instinct in the eagle to find a cliff far, far up, far high, up above somewhere where he will sit down when he begins to feel this molting process happening in him. It's a season of death for an eagle, because while he's up there, his feathers begin to fall out. He can't fly anymore, and he's very, very vulnerable. And if he hasn't eaten very well before, he's going to die there before his feathers grow back. But while the eagle is up there losing his feathers, he's waiting. But what happens in this picture of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it gives us a picture that eagle waits. His old feathers fall out. The old oily, dirty feathers disappear. And little fuzz begins to come out on this eagle. And eventually, the feathers are out again. And he can soar again. Better and higher than ever before. Because he waited. And he allowed God to do that work in his life. Maybe some of us are in those kinds of seasons. Embrace the season of life, because it's surely to be empowering for you, whatever comes next, if you follow what He's doing in your life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the opportunities of life that You're just presenting to us on every side. Lord, we want to hear Your voice. God, we don't want to be distant from You, so that we and cluttered in our minds, in our ears, to not be able to hear the voice of God in the din of life. Father, I pray today that as all of us are wrestling with things or enjoying great successes, I pray that we would embrace Your timing for us. I pray that as people of faith, You would use us in our world, in our communities, God, to make it a better place to be, to make it a place of light and of salt, a place where Jesus is seen as we go to our workplaces, to our schools, in our homes, in our communities, in the places we shop, as we travel abroad, God, may your glory be seen in us, the glory of the Lord God of hosts, the Savior of the world. In his name I pray. Amen.